It is truly good to see all of you back again this evening. And for those of you that are visitors, you are most welcome and our most honored guest. It is our hope and desire you feel so welcome you want to come back and worship God together with us again whenever you're able to come and be with us. As you can see from the title on the overhead here, tonight we're going to be studying finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And I would like to begin over in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, which says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are a light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." And then in verse 9, "But the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." And then finally in verse 10, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. From the context here, I'm wanting you to realize that what is acceptable to the Lord is walking as children of light. What is acceptable to the Lord is walking in goodness, walking in righteousness, walking in truth. But again, notice the closing phrase here, finding out. The idea of finding out means it's going to take some studying. It's going to take some work to try to search the scriptures and find out what is actually acceptable to our God. But there's something else I learned from this. If there are things that are acceptable to God, there are things that are unacceptable. He will not accept it. And so we need to search the scriptures this evening to find out exactly what is acceptable to God. Before I even get into the sermon body of it, the body of the sermon, I want you to know right up front I've added some more verses. And so if there's a verse on the overhead that's not on your notes, just make a note of it to the side of it, especially my wife, so that I can add them later on. And so we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 13. "Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." In the text here, the prophet Isaiah is talking about a serious problem in Israel when they're coming to worship God. They're coming to offer their sacrifices on all the holy days, on the new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of the assemblies. They're coming together and they're offering their sacrifices, but there's a problem, and the problem is this. When God is looking at the people that are out there that are offering the sacrifices, he knows their hearts, he knows their lives, and what he says here about it, "I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting." When you're coming together to worship God, our God is holy, holy, holy. And so we need to realize in our lives, he expects us to be living and striving to live the same way, a life of holiness. Going now to Proverbs chapter 28. This one is not on your outline. "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law," he says about that, "even his prayer is an abomination." So if you're someone who turns away your ear, you're not hearing what God says do, you're not hearing what God's commandments are, even when you go to God and you're approaching God and you're praying to God, he says about that individual, "your prayer is an abomination." Doesn't sound like it's acceptable. Why is it not acceptable? Because of the way in which the man is living, and he has no intentions of stopping living this way. And now then, Proverbs 21, which is on the outline. "To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice." I just let that sink in. What is acceptable to the Lord? What he wants more than anything is for you to live a life of righteousness. You remember what we learned earlier, going back to the opening verse from Ephesians, walking as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is what? In all goodness, righteousness. There it is. Righteousness and truth. And so the Lord wants us to live a life that is righteous. He wants us to listen to the truth, listen to the law of God, and obey it by faith. And when you're obeying it by faith, and you're living by faith, and you're living a life of righteousness, that is what he's desiring more than anything. So don't just think by coming to the assembly, you're good to go. You first of all got to make sure you're living it. You're actually living Christianity out there in your life. Coming to the assembly is not going to guarantee you a one-way ticket to heaven. You can come to the assembly and not be living a Christian life. Going back now to Psalms 51. And again, this one is not on the outline. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And so this is a question all of us need to ask ourselves. Exactly what is my attitude about the sin that is in my life, okay? Because the fact of the matter is we have all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Even this week you may have sinned again. So exactly what is your attitude about your sins? If your attitude is a nonchalant, la-di-da, yeah, I did these things, so what, I'm going to keep doing them, I have no intentions of changing, don't expect your worship to be acceptable to God. You know, when we're taking the Lord's Supper, we're supposed to be focusing our mind on the body of Christ, the body of Christ that was nailed to the cross for me, for my sins. We're supposed to be focusing our mind on the blood of the Christ, the blood that was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. I want to encourage you to do something in the future when you're taking the Lord's Supper. Examine yourself and ask yourself this question: what sins have I committed this very week? And be honest in answering it. And then when you answer that, recognize when you're partaking of the bread, that's why he died. When you're partaking of the fruit of the vine, I recommend you focus on those sins, remembering the blood was shed for the remission of sins. And with a broken and contrite spirit, ask God to forgive you of your sins. What God is desiring of us right off of the bat is for us to be serious about our relationship with Him who is holy, and for us to strive to be living a life of holiness. If there's sin in the assembly, you need to realize your sacrifices are not acceptable if you're living in sin. Now let's go to Romans 12, which is on the outline. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Notice the very next word now. Focus on it. Holy. There it is. You're giving yourself as a living sacrifice to God. And as a living sacrifice, it is no longer my will, but your will that's being done. And in my life, what I am striving to do is to live a life of holiness. Now, notice the next phrase, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I have a question I want to ask you. He's talking about giving yourself as a living sacrifice. How much of yourself does God want you to give? How about 50-50? I'll give you half of me, God, and I keep half of me. No, I tell you what, I'll be more willing. I'll give you 70%, and I'll keep 30. You need to realize if that's the way you're thinking, no. That's not a living sacrifice. What God expects of us is for us to give 100. To give ourselves totally over to Him. He is our God, and we give ourselves to Him as a living sacrifice. No longer my will, but your will be done. And let my life be a life that brings honor and glory to God as I'm striving to keep His commandments and live a life of goodness, righteousness, and holiness. Look at the next text here now. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And so here it is talking about the kind of sacrifices we are offering to God. Notice what he describes these sacrifices. He calls them spiritual sacrifices. And notice what he says about the spiritual sacrifices. They are acceptable to God. One of the big mistakes sometimes people make is the idea we can give God whatever we want. I can offer God any kind of sacrifice. Doesn't really matter what it is. As long as it's for me to God, He's good with it. I want to know exactly where did you find that. I can't find that in the Bible. I find in the Bible that if we're going to offer God sacrifice, it has to be a sacrifice that He accepts. And here he's talking about our sacrifices today are spiritual sacrifices. Look at this in Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. All right, what is he talking about here? Here's the spiritual sacrifice that we're offering. And the sacrifice that we're offering to God is praise to God, the fruit of our lips singing and praising God. This next verse, I believe, I've added to it. Ephesians 5:19, out on the outline. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Okay, Steve just got through leading us in singing. You know, the Bible talks about those who have 10 talents and those that have got 2. Some people out here, I'm just going to be quite frank with you, you got 10 talents in singing. You are amazing. I really haven't even got 1. And I'm struggling to hold on to it. I used to sit between my mother and my father. My father sang bass, my mother sang alto, and I heard the soprano as the primary song. And so I would sing a couple of notes of soprano and a couple of notes of alto and a couple of notes of bass because I had no idea. I didn't really know there were 4 parts harmony. And so I remember going to college with my good friend Larry McClinney. He was one of the best friends I've ever had. And we would sit by each other at worship services. And one day he said, Wayne, I love you. You're my best friend. Please don't sit by me at worship. Yeah, at that time it was bad, folks. It was really bad. And I remember the first congregation I ever worked with in Cleveland. Brother Joel, J.D. Joel, he came to me after services one day and he said, Wayne, some people sing bass, some sing tenor, some sing soprano, some sing alto. You don't sing anything. And that was because I didn't even know there were 4 parts. I didn't know there was a bass. I didn't know where the bass notes were. I was in my 20s. I knew all the words to all the songs. And I really messed them all up royally. Now, I'm telling you that just so that you'll understand something. When we are singing to God and giving him the fruit of our lips, you will nowhere find a scripture that says, sing in tune. He says, sing with the spirit, sing with the understanding. Sing from the heart to God. Some years ago, I was doing a gospel meeting over in Texas. And there was a girl there that absolutely was probably the worst singer I've ever heard in my life. She was 2 words behind and way off key. And I was trying to sing and I was like, I like stop and go. And after a while, I was like, it's driving me crazy. And I turned over and I looked at her and she was looking up to heaven and just singing from her heart. And I immediately turned back and asked God to forgive me. Because that was the way to sing. She had it right. She was giving it all she had to God, even though it was off key and off word. Now, I'm telling you these stories because I realize sometimes there are people who come to the assembly to worship God, and quite frankly, you don't. You don't sing at all. Let me ask you this. The Lord who is here in our presence, don't you think he sees that? Now, if you're embarrassed about your skills and abilities in singing, you're in good company because there's a whole lot of us that really don't know music well. I can't read music. I have 3 notes, high, low, and in between. And, you know, when y'all go the do, re, mi stuff, me don't know. I just don't get it. I don't get it. Okay, so you can't read music. You don't know the song well. God's okay with that. Give him the best you got. That's all that matters. That's all God expects of us. And whatever it is you're doing when you're worshiping him, let it be from your heart. From your heart to your God. That's what he's looking at. That's the kind of worship that is acceptable to God when you're actually praising him from your heart, the fruit of your lips, a spiritual sacrifice. When you're praying, let your mind focus on the prayer to where you're actually communicating from your heart to God. Going back to Isaiah 29 again, verse 13, this one again is not on the outline. Therefore the Lord said, inasmuch as these people draw near to me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts far from me. You know, I talked to you earlier about from over in 1 Corinthians 12, I just quoted it, sing with the Spirit, sing with the understanding. Pray with the Spirit, pray with the understanding. Now, there is a problem we have in the Church of Christ, and I'll tell you exactly what it is. We memorize the songs. And then we can sing the song by rote without giving it any thought. And not only that, we can have someone get up and lead us in prayer, and we close our eyes and we bow our head and... Oh, is he through already? Okay. And the truth of the matter is we ain't got a clue what was said in the prayer. The point I'm trying to make is when that is happening, you are ritualistically going through the motions of worship. You're just going through the motions. The individuals here, oh, they can honor God with their lips. But there was a problem. Their heart was far from him. When we are worshiping God, please focus the mind. Focus the mind in the Lord's Supper on the death of the Son of God. When you're singing a song, focus on the message in the song. One of the preachers down in Texas taught me this. Sing the song in phrases. To where you're singing a phrase and your brain is getting the entire phrase. And then go to the next phrase, because in doing so, you're actually getting the message that is in the song. And again, sing it from your heart, sing it to God. When you're praying, pray from the heart with the understanding to God. Now let's go to Psalms 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So we're wanting the words of our mouth, we're wanting the meditations of our heart, our prayers, our thoughts, whenever we're giving them to God, we're wanting them to be acceptable. For them to be acceptable, it's got to be from the heart, it's got to be with understanding, not just going through the motions. And now we'll go over to Malachi 1:8. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? He goes on further and says, offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably? Now the text here, God is all talking about the sacrifices that are being given to him by the priest and by the people. But there's a problem. And the problem is this. They're giving God the leftovers. They're giving God the sick, the lame, the weak, the blind. And he talks about if you were to take a blind animal, a sick animal, and offer it to your governor, would he accept it? And the answer is no. It's unacceptable to the governor. If it's unacceptable to the governor, it is obviously unacceptable to God. God does not like it when we just give him the leftover. Going back to Malachi 1, he says in verse 13, but you also say, oh, what a weariness, and you sneer at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring the stolen, the lame, and the sick. Thus you bring an offering. Should I accept this from your hand, says the Lord. So answer the question here. Should God accept this? And the answer is no. It's unacceptable. Why again? Because they're giving God the leftover. Philippians now chapter 4 and verse 18. I'm reading from the outline. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. In the text here, what he is talking about is the contribution, a financial contribution put together by the church in Philippi and sent to the Apostle Paul. And I want you to see how the Apostle Paul refers to this financial contribution that is given to him by the Philippian church. He calls it a sacrifice. But notice what he says. It's an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. The point I'm trying to make is, not only are we worshiping God and giving God our worship and song and prayer and the Lord's Supper, we are also worshiping God, giving back to Him. When you give back to God, don't give God the leftovers. Give God the best you got. Don't put Him at the end of the list. Put Him at the top of the list. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." I've told you all this story before, I'll tell you again. Years ago, I went to Mississippi State. Mississippi State was a suitcase college. If you don't know what that means is that everybody went home on the weekend. And I had a car. At that time in life, not everybody had cars. And so I would give people rides home from college. I would give them a ride from state to Grenada and then take them back. And so one week I was giving a girl a ride home from school to Grenada, and we were going through the countryside of Mississippi. And if you know anything about the countryside, it's very sparse, not many people. And so we came upon a little country grocery store out in the middle of the country, and I was getting gas. And she said, "I'm hungry. Can you buy me some food?" And so I went in. I bought her, you remember the three donuts in the package? I bought her three donuts. And I gave her the donuts. And then as we were driving, I looked over at her, and I said, "Can I have one of those donuts?" And she said, "No." And at first I thought she was joking until she ate them. And I don't mind telling you, when I was sitting there, I was thinking, "Are you a greedy pig? Here is my car, my gas, and my money to buy you food, and you won't even give me back one." Are you that way when it comes to giving back to God? Everything you have, everything that's good, all the blessings are from our God. And when it comes to us giving back to God, are you like, I don't know about this. I can use this. Then keep it. Just keep it. You need to understand this. In all of our worship, what is it that God is looking at? He's looking at our heart. He is looking at our heart. We're giving Him spiritual sacrifices, the fruit of our lips from our heart to God in song and prayer. We're taking the Lord's Supper, focusing on the death of the Son of God, and then we're giving back to God a portion of that He's blessed us with. And so when you are giving to God, give Him the best you got, but understand this, that doesn't mean you got to give Him all you got. Do you remember the widow's mites? She only had a little bit of money. Obviously, she gave Him everything. I would say she had a lot of trust in God. And this is something we need to learn. Trust God when it comes to your giving. Trust Him. He is seeing whether or not you're giving to Him cheerfully. And you're giving to Him the best you've got. And so putting all of this together, when we're coming together to worship God, first of all, He's looking at your hearts to see how are you living. And if there's sin in the sacred assembly, He cannot stand that. If you have sin in your life and you really, quite frankly, don't care about it. And so if you're walking in darkness, living in sin with no intentions of repenting of it, no broken and contrite spirit, no godly sorrow, you need to understand your sacrifice isn't accepted. He wants us to approach Him striving to be living sacrifices who are living a life of holiness because He is holy, walking in the light as children of light, practicing that which is good, practicing that which is righteous in our life. And when we do sin, we approach the throne of God with a broken and contrite spirit, praying and begging for the forgiveness of our sins. And when we approach God with that attitude, then we are acceptable. But if our attitude toward our sin is one of flippant arrogance, that's not going to get it. You just need to let that sink in. He's looking at your heart. He's looking at your life. So we're trying to find out what's acceptable to God. Very simply this. Give him all you got. As a living sacrifice, give all of yourself to him. All of your life to his glory. When you're singing, give him the best you got. When you're giving, give him the best you got. When you're trying to live, give him the best you got. And if you fall short, ask forgiveness and get up and try to give him the best you got. That is acceptable to God. I appreciate your kind attention. If there's anybody here this evening who is not a member of the one body, if you honestly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, be willing to openly confess that faith and motivated by your faith, make the great commitment of repentance. That is to give yourself as a living sacrifice, to put off the old man, to put on the new man, to start doing the will of God in your life by faith. It's a big commitment. It's going to take the rest of your life. And by the way, it's going to be a continual battle for the rest of your life to beat down the pride of life, to beat down your will and let the will of God take control. But if you're willing to make that commitment of repentance, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you into the one body for the remission of your sins. If you're a child of God and as you examine your life, you realize, wait a minute, I am walking in darkness. I am living in sin. If you want to have your life and your worship to be acceptable to God, you've got to deal with the sin. You need to have a broken and contrite spirit about the sin that's in your life. Stop being nonchalant, la-di-da, I don't care about it. Because that's not going to be acceptable to God. He expects us to try to live a life of holiness, and when we blow it, he expects us to deal with it. Bring the sin to our God, confess it to him, and turn from it. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to honestly try to encourage you and strengthen you. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the psalm that Steve has selected.